This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Good morning, and welcome to Seattle Unity's online Sunday service. My name is Reverend Karen Lindvig, and I am the senior minister here, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. We are an accessible and inclusive spiritual sanctuary for all ages and stages of life. We offer spiritual practices and a community that honors diversity and encourages self-empowerment. We co-create a world that works for all. So I'd like for you to join me, if you will, in our opening statement. There is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence. And I invite you to breathe in this awareness, to know that this is the truth at every fiber of your being, with every fiber of your being. And we call forth that goodness not only in our own personal lives, but in the world. So we do affirm this in the name and through the power of the living spirit of truth. And it is so. Amen. And now I invite you to enjoy the music of Stephanie Ann Johnson.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Pride Sunday and welcome to Seattle Unity Church. My name is Stephanie Ann Johnson. Come on, tuck in with me. Let's have a good time. One love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. Hear the children crying. One love, one heart. Let's get together and be alright. Give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will be alright. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let them pass all of their dirty remorse. There is one question I would really love to ask. Is there a place for those hopeless sinners who would hurt all mankind just to save his own? Believe me, one love, one heart. Let's get together and feel alright. As it was in the beginning, one love, or shall it be in the end? One heart, let's get together and feel alright. Give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel alright. Oh, let's get together to fight this holy Armageddon. So when the man comes, there will be no doom. Have pity for those whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Believe me, one love. What about one heart? One heart. Let's get together and feel alright. Hear the children crying. One love. One heart, let's get together and feel alright. Give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel
I invite us now to enter into a time of meditation. So get comfortable where you are seated, just filling the chair or
whatever you are on, fully supporting you, feeling your feet on the ground. And if it's comfortable, closing your eyes and just allowing yourself to go within for the next few minutes. I'm going to lead us through a body-focused meditation. And so just inviting us to begin with turning our attention to our breath. Just feeling the breath moving in and moving out. Feeling the sensations in our body with our breath. Opening our awareness to our connection to the earth, to spirit, to all of creation and all life. And I invite you to turn your attention to your lungs. Just pouring gratitude and appreciation and love for the work that they do in every breath. Thanking them for the work they do that you don't have to think about, that is automatic. And turning your attention to your heart and your circulatory system. And showering it with appreciation and love. Perhaps even moving your hand to your heart. Extending that love and appreciation to your own being, and your heart that beats continuously and steady for you. Moving your attention to your face, your head. Pouring forth love and appreciation for your eyes, your ears, your sense of smell and taste. Giving thanks for your brain and nervous system. Just affirming that the very essence of God is in every cell of your body. Appreciating the miraculous creation that you are and that your body is. Focusing on your arms and hands and all the work that they do without you even needing to be conscious every moment of it. extending love and appreciation to your legs, your feet, your knees. To your hips and spine. And all of the muscles and tendons and ligaments. Extending love and appreciation to all of your organs, including your skin that covers you. The very essence of spirit is the truth of your being. Resting in the knowingness of this sacred holy temple that you walk around in, that you move through this world in and as. And if there were places in your body as we move through that were difficult to connect with, those may be places you want to reconnect with again. And so we do give thanks for the bodies that we have, these holy, sacred temples. And we take time to extend love and appreciation to them. And for this awareness, we are so grateful. And so gently coming back to this time and this space, maybe moving your fingers and your toes, aware of this body that we walk around in, with deeper love and appreciation. Blessings to you. Thank you.
to bring me down today. No matter what we do, no matter what they say, with a song inside the tomb, full of beautiful mysteries. And everywhere we go, the sun will always shine, and we might wake up on the other side, 'cause we are beautiful.
So we have a special treat for you this morning. Our speaker is a member of our own community. Desi Bailey has been a member of Seattle Unity for 15 years, and she served as Seattle Unity's board president from 2010 to 2012. Dr. Desi Bailey retired from Group Health in Seattle in 2014 after 36 years as a board-certified anesthesiologist. She also served as hospital chief of staff for 18 years. Desi served on the Human Rights Campaign Board of Directors from 2005 to 2009, and in 2008, she joined the Healthcare Equality Index National Advisory Council. She was elected to the Board of Directors of the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association, known as GLAMA, in 2009, and she served as president there for 2 years. She is currently the GLAMA treasurer, and in 2013, she was GLAMA's first delegate to the American Medical Association, AMA, House of Delegates, and became the first chair of the advisory board for George Washington's LGBTQ health certificate program. Since 2016, Desi has been GLAMA's representative on the AMA LGBTQ advisory committee. She has 2 sons, a daughter-in-law, and a grandson. And lucky for her, they're all living in the Seattle area. So join me in a heartfelt welcome of Dr. Desi Bailey.
Good morning. I'm Desi Bailey. I've been a member of Seattle Unity for 15 years. Reverend Karen asked me to speak today on Pride Sunday about LGBTQ advocacy and how I've taken part. Just in case you're confused about the letters, LGBTQ stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer or questioning. I moved to Seattle with my husband in 1977. There were no rainbow flags on top of the Space Needle back then. I finished my medical residency at Virginia Mason and joined the anesthesiology department at Group Health in 1978, 3 months after my older son was born. My younger son was born in 1981. I first became aware of my true sexual orientation in 1980 and struggled to fit that into the life I was leading. Eventually, it became apparent that divorce was the only course ahead. During my divorce proceedings, I went through 2 court-ordered psychiatric evaluations to determine my fitness as a mother, and I wanted to have joint custody of our 2 sons, ages 4 and 2. The court finally determined that that was appropriate. I was very appreciative of the Lesbian Mothers National Defense Fund for referring me to a lawyer who was very good and very supportive. This was a time period when many lesbian mothers across the U.S. lost their rights to care for their children strictly because they were lesbian. This experience was the seed of my activism. No one should have their fitness as a parent questioned because of their sexual orientation. So, while being a physician is my vocation, this activism is my avocation. The AIDS epidemic was a defining time for the gay community in the 1980s. It hit close to home when my partner's brother-in-law died of AIDS. I would participate in many AIDS walks over the years to raise money for and raise awareness of the pandemic that has killed so many young people. This slide shows my response to a medical staff editorial at Group Health in 1989 regarding disclosure of HIV status of patients. This was a time when such disclosure was very stigmatizing and patient confidentiality was very fragile. As department chief and also chair of the OR committee, I dealt with other AIDS issues at work as well. Talk of requiring HIV testing of physicians with possible loss of position, and the refusal to hire an anesthesiologist who was suspected of being gay. I worked on Sherry Harris's campaign to be elected to the Seattle City Council. In 1991, Sherry was elected to the council, making her the first out black lesbian elected to public office in the United States. In April of 1993, I joined an estimated 800,000 to 1 million people who participated in the March on Washington for lesbian, gay, and bisexual equal rights and liberation. It was absolutely amazing to be there. At the Women in Medicine conference that followed, I heard from a lesbian surgeon about how she worked for domestic partner health benefits at the California University Hospital where she worked. So in 1995, I worked with other gay physicians to successfully encourage Group Health to provide domestic partner health benefits for both medical staff and all their employees. The Human Rights Campaign was founded in 1980 to raise money for congressional candidates who supported fairness in response to anti-gay groups such as the Moral Majority. They lobbied successfully for the passage of the Americans with Disability Act, which protects people with HIV and AIDS from discrimination. Because of friends who were very involved in both local advocacy and with HRC on a national level in the late 1980s, I became a founding member of the HRC Steering Committee in 2000 when invited by Tina Podlodowski, who was at that time a board director for HRC. I was the Seattle Federal Club co-chair, and my task was to find and develop a group of sustaining donors through events and social gatherings. This money was to help HRC fulfill its mission. In 2002, I joined the HRC Board of Governors, which put me in a leadership role of the Seattle HRC chapter. And then from 2005 to 2009, I was on the National Board of Directors for HRC. And during my 9 years of active participation with HRC, I met many people of note. President Bill Clinton was at Seattle's very first HRC gala dinner. While on the HRC Board of Directors, I lobbied several times in D.C. personally with Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell for support of marriage equality. That's my younger son in the red suit. In 2002, I participated on a panel about sexual minorities for UW freshman medical students for the first time of many annual panels. Later, I would give a talk to students and doctors at the University of Washington on making their practices friendly and accessible for LGBT patients. I was involved in the initial meetings to form Equal Rights Washington, which was founded in 2004 to assist in the passage of Washington State's LGBT anti-discrimination bill, which for 28 years had been introduced into the state legislature, but never passed. Ed Murray was involved in helping form Equal Rights Washington, which is when I first met him. He was a state representative and then senator, and led the work to pass Washington State's non-discrimination law, and then to achieve domestic partnerships, and finally marriage equality in Washington State. Unfortunately, he ended up needing to resign during his first term as Seattle's mayor. Washington House Bill 2661 was finally passed and went into effect in June of 2006. The Washington state law bans employment, insurance, and housing discrimination against LGBTQ individuals. I was there with other members of the HRC steering committee at the signing. While Washington state LGBTQ residents are protected with non-discrimination laws, the federal picture is bleak. Our nation's civil rights laws do not provide consistent non-discrimination protections based on sexual orientation or gender identity. And as of this year, 29 states have still not outlawed anti-LGBTQ discrimination. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act and similar previous legislation had not passed in Congress between 1974 to 2019, despite repeated introduction. The Equality Act would provide non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people across key areas of life, including employment, housing, credit, education, public places and services, federally funded programs, and jury service. It finally passed in the House last year, but it languishes in the Senate. Of course, the Supreme Court of the U.S. just ruled that discrimination in employment based on sex includes sexual orientation and gender identity. This is a big step, but we still have many areas where discrimination is permitted. A domestic partner bill took effect in 2007 in Washington state. The next year, the law was expanded to add over 170 additional rights and responsibilities to domestic partnerships. And in 2009, the law was expanded to include everything but the word marriage. However, Referendum 71 was filed to overturn the expansion, but Washington voters approved the law, making it the first time in U.S. history that voters had approved a statewide ballot measure that extended LGBT relationship rights. The monumental passage of Washington Bill 6239 in 2012 defined marriage in Washington as between any two persons who have each attained the age of 18 years and who are otherwise capable, regardless of gender. Referendum 74 was put on the ballot to try to reject that bill that would legalize same-sex marriage in Washington state. But voters upheld the law in November of 2012. Maine and Maryland also used the popular vote to allow same-sex marriage in 2012. And by the way, Massachusetts was the very first state in the U.S. to have same-sex marriage. This was in 2004 by a decision of their state Supreme Court. In 2015, the Federal Marriage Equality Act finally became legal with a 5-4 vote by the Supreme Court of the U.S. Believe me, there was much celebration when that decision came down. Ironically, I was single then and I still am. The first Gay Pride Week in Seattle was in June of 1974, but there was no parade. In 1977, lesbians and gay men marched from Occidental Park to Westlake, demonstrating for more civil rights. By 1980, the march turned into a parade of celebration on Capitol Hill. The parade would continue each year until it became too big for Capitol Hill, and in 2006, it was moved back downtown with the festival at the Seattle Center. The first year back downtown was a bit disconcerting since the crowds along the route were not very large. However, since 2011, the Pride Parade and Festival have drawn more than 350,000 people annually. At Group Health, I was a founding board member of the LGBT and Allies Staff Resource Group and participated in the Group Health Physicians Diversity Committee. I also led Group Health's participation in both the Healthcare Equality Index and the Corporate Equality Index. Group Health scored 100% for several years in a row, as this press release describes. HRC publishes scores of participating healthcare organizations regarding their level of equitable care for LGBTQ patients and treatment of their LGBTQ physicians and employees. The Healthcare Equality Index was developed as a joint collaboration between HRC and GLAMA. GLAMA, Health Professionals Advancing LGBTQ Equality, previously known as the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association, is the world's largest and oldest association of LGBTQ healthcare professionals. CLAMA was founded in 1981 in response to the AIDS epidemic. It was originally only open to physicians, residents, and medical students, but CLAMA expanded its mission in 2002 and now represents the interests of LGBTQ health professionals of all kinds. I rolled off the HRC board in March of 2009 and joined the CLAMA board a month later. I was excited to meld my professional interests with my activism interests. CLAMA's policy work has many priorities: to ensure that science informs laws and policies, that there is LGBT inclusion in health policies and programs and in data collection, that there is non-discrimination in healthcare, that healthcare association policies address LGBTQ health, and that all levels and disciplines of healthcare training include LGBTQ health issues. Much of my time on the HRC board focused on marriage equality. CLAMA also focused on marriage equality because of the health implications of being denied marriage rights, such as having health benefits through your spouse's employment. This slide shows the amicus brief submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court by CLAMA and the American Academy of Nursing in 2015, supporting marriage equality. During my 2 years as president of CLAMA, I represented CLAMA at various conferences and meetings, gave press conference interviews, and I also spoke at 2 congressional briefings in Washington, D.C., convened to explore the unique social, economic, and legal impediments to LGBTQ family health and well-being in the U.S. In 2012, I was invited, along with CLAMA's executive director, to a reception in celebration of LGBT Pride Month at the White House. Here I am at the White House enjoying a Pride reception and listening to President Obama. It was quite an honor. Part of CLAMA's work includes an annual conference for education, advocacy, and networking. We have had 2 Surgeon Generals speak during my time on the board. I was honored to speak with HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius while she was in Seattle about regulations President Obama asked her to issue to ensure hospitals cannot deny visitation based on sexual orientation and gender identity. This specific issue came about when a Seattle woman was prevented from visiting her gravely ill partner in a Florida hospital after her partner collapsed during a family vacation. Since 2005, CLAMA has had a representative on the Advisory Committee for LGBTQ Issues to the American Medical Association Board of Trustees, and I've represented CLAMA on this committee for the last 4 years. In 2013, CLAMA met the requirements for membership within the AMA House of Delegates, which is the AMA's policymaking body. I was CLAMA's first delegate that year, and then in 2016, I became the alternate delegate. Membership in the House of Delegates allows CLAMA to introduce resolutions and influence debate within the AMA House of Delegates. Since CLAMA is the only medical association within the House of Delegates dedicated to LGBTQ health and wellness, we have a very important role there. Here are my colleagues on the advisory committee last year. This year, we met virtually. I want to give you a few examples of CLAMA's resolution that became AMA policy. CLAMA introduced the resolution about medical spectrum of gender, which was adopted as AMA policy in 2018. It stated that the AMA affirmed that gender for many individuals may differ from the sex assigned at birth, and that the AMA opposes any efforts to deny an individual's right to determine their stated sex marker or gender identity. CLAMA earlier introduced the resolution on medical policies affecting transgendered individuals in the military. The policy affirmed that there's no medically valid reason to excuse transgender individuals from service in the U.S. military and that transgender service members be provided health care according to the same medical standards that apply to non-gender personnel. A huge reason why it's important for CLAMA to be able to introduce resolutions at the AMA is that AMA policy makes big news headlines on many issues and has far-reaching influence. Not long after the AMA adopted the transgender in the military policy, the Pentagon allowed transgender people to serve openly in the military. Now, with the Trump administration, that has unfortunately been reversed, along with so many other gains. Another GLAMA-introduced policy at the AMA was to oppose efforts preventing transgender individuals from accessing basic human services and public facilities in line with one's gender identity, including but not limited to the use of restrooms. This policy also made national news headlines. In Washington state, an attempt to prevent bathroom access according to gender identity failed to make the ballot in 2016. That was good. Mm-hmm. In 2013, while I was GLAMA's president, I co-authored a piece for the Huffington Post blog about discrimination in healthcare because of sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. Check this out. Imagine my surprise last year when I attended the AMA annual meeting and saw myself on the outside wall by the entrance of the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Chicago. The red arrow points to me, the real me, standing next to the billboard. The Affordable Care Act included provision within the law prohibiting sex and other forms of discrimination. And in 2016, Regulation 1557 was adopted by Obama administration, specifically prohibiting discrimination based on gender identity and sex stereotyping. But on June 12th of this year, the Trump administration removed protections for transgendered individuals in healthcare. You are probably all familiar with the various rainbow flags celebrating Pride. This new flag, designed by Daniel Kesar, adds to the original rainbow flag the colors for transgender rights and for racial inclusiveness. There is still so much work to do. Let's do it together. Thank you.
Now we come to that time in our service where we share our tithes and our love offerings. So there are a number of ways to give. One is through the text to give phone number. Another is to set up a recurring giving. And we wanted to remind you that you can sign up for Amazon Smile so that every time you make a anytime you make a purchase with Amazon, a certain portion of that will go to Seattle Unity. So in whatever way you have chosen to give and whatever amount you have chosen to give, know that we are very grateful. So let's just take a moment as we bless our offering. I give willingly, joyfully, and lovingly, knowing that God is the constant source of my supply. I give with graciousness, and I receive with gratitude. And so we dedicate and we consecrate these gifts to the will, the work, and the way of the living Spirit of Truth. Thank you again for your generosity. Amen. And now I invite you to join me with our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Amen. Have a wonderful week, my friend.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity. Celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys.